I am. I turned them that many times, I'd turned them off instead of on. That's a woman for you, ain't it? Not used to these electric gadgets. Well, we went to Africa, and God was good to us in Africa. And I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for all your prayers and your support. Thank you for everything that you did back home here. It made our visit much easier. We were able to go with ease, knowing that everything was okay at base. And when we saw you on Skype, that was a tough day for us. But thank God, your smiling faces, you were all wrapped up, it looked cold, but it was good to see you all. And I thank God for something like Skype, which was able to connect us. That was the only Sunday we were able to manage it, but it was such an encouragement to us, and thank you, everyone, for your encouragement. We needed it. It was a challenging time. I was doing the cooking. We were told before we got there that we wouldn't have the use of an oven. We just had two hobs that we could use. But, you know, God understands, and there was 12 of us that we were cooking for. And it was that in itself was a challenge with two hobs. But somebody in their church, God had given the idea to give us a huge frying pan, an electric frying pan. And I kid you not, it was about that big. It was a huge thing. But it was a godsend because we were able to cook most of our meals in that. We tended to do things that were easy and could all be done in one pan. And then we just did some rice with it, or we did some potatoes to fill them up. Because these lads, the lads that we took, they were really big, strong lads, and they could eat twice, maybe three times what I could eat. So it wasn't like cooking for 12, it was like cooking more for 15 or 16, because they always came back for seconds, so they must have enjoyed it. Sarah, who is part of Carpenter's Arms, she went also, and together we made a good team. What I didn't know she did, and what she didn't know I did. So between us, we got some decent meals. So I thank God for his help there. And the interesting thing was that on the very last day, I was cooking with the big frying pan, and somebody came into the kitchen and said, "Cor, there's a smell of, what was it? Yeah, burning Bakelite." And I said, "Well, there's nothing wrong with this frying pan, it's fine." And Andrew came in and he had a look and he messed with the connection. He said, "Seems fine." So anyway, after a while, we turned it off. And next day I was making a big bowl of soup and I looked at the frying pan connection and it was all burnt and the connections had actually burnt through. And I thought, thank you, God, we weren't electrocuted or anything. And that it lasted until the very last day. We certainly saw God's hand in everything that we did. We set out to finish the project. I'll let Andrew tell you a bit about that. It was no easy job. But we met some wonderful people in the process. But for me, the greatest blessing of all was the very last day. Our project was more or less finished, but it's not up and running. And so we went to pay a bill at one of the suppliers on the very last morning. And he was telling us about a baby centre for abandoned babies that was just a mile away from where we were staying. He said, "If you'd like to go and have a look at it, I'll take you and I'll meet you there this afternoon." So he met us there late afternoon. And we walked into that home, and it was a real beautiful home. You walked in and you could feel the love. And there were a lot of women my age, some a little bit younger. And they were holding and cuddling these beautiful black babies. There were 15 in that home. And as soon as we walked in, I'd got babies round my ankles, just banging at my skirts with their arms up. "Hold me, love me, cuddle me." And so we picked up one after another, and they didn't want to go down. They just wanted to be loved. But it was a blessing to be in that home. And I don't know about you, but I just think these black babies are absolutely beautiful. They're gorgeous. There was a little girl in a pink dress and pink tights. She was tremendous. So, yeah, we should be praying for those children. But that centre, the house that we went to, it accommodates from 0 to 3 years old. And then they move them on to another house. And all told, they can take 200 children in that facility. And there's got beautiful texts written on the wall. There's teddy bears, there's elephants, there's deer, there's clouds. And it's just painted and decorated for the children. The youngest one there was 4 months old, and she'd come at 1 day old. And she was tucked up in bed with a dummy in her mouth, and she was fast asleep, as content could be. So that was the height of my time in Africa. It was so rewarding to see what can be established and the lives. And when we were talking to the people who were running the centre, they said to us, "We are so excited. This is one project, but there's lots and lots of children who are abandoned, and we need many more homes like this one that the children can be rescued and brought to and given a Christian upbringing, which is the greatest thing that can ever be given, the greatest gift of all, Jesus." So yes, we were blessed. One other thing that was a blessing to us, and we maybe at some point can get some photographs, as we worked at the centre, there was a lady who worked there, and a black lady, and they called her Elizabeth. And I used to get chatting to Elizabeth. She was a lovely lady, and she worked very, very hard. And I was asking her about her home life, where she lived, and how things were for her. And she travelled 2 hours every day to get to work. And each way it was 2 hours for her. And she had to walk from the centre of Newcastle to the church, which was a good 35-minute walk. And it was steaming hot some days. It just sapped your energy. It sapped my energy walking down to the washing line. So how she kept walking back and forth and doing her work, I don't know, because she wasn't a young lady. She was in her late 40s. But Elizabeth was telling me that she lived in a township some 2 hours away, and this township, she had a house that was too small for her. She had 3 children and she'd adopted a child, so there were 4 children and her and her husband, and they had 2 rooms for sleeping in, and she said it just wasn't adequate. It was far too small for them. And so she prayed and she said to God, "God, I need to extend my house. I don't have the money to do it, but I'm trusting you. I'm going to step out and I'm going to trust you to provide for me." And she got a builder in, and he'd given her 1, 2, 3 extra rooms. And he'd taken the building up to the first level, and he'd started doing the bricks for up to the roof level, but he hadn't finished it off. And apparently, I didn't know at that point, but he'd absconded with the money. And so she was left having paid for something. She didn't tell me that, but she was left with something that she'd paid for that she hadn't got. And I really felt this prompting in my spirit, and God said to me, "You are to pay for her roof to go on." So we thought, well, how can we do this? We can't just give her money, because the same thing could happen. Not that Elizabeth wasn't trustworthy, because she was. But one of the suppliers of the building materials, he's a good, godly man, and he had a building business. And he said, "Don't worry, I'll take care of it, I'll sort it, we'll get the roof on, and I'll send you the bill." So praise God, she was absolutely over the moon. She danced around the kitchen with me, and we had a good old knees up because she was so excited. She said, "I knew God could do it, but I didn't know how. I tried to work it out, and I never ever imagined he'd send somebody from England to do it, to pay." You know, God's got a way where it seems there is no way. God is a God of the impossible. And just trust him. Don't try and work it out. And he will do it. And on the last day before we went to the children's home, we took Elizabeth to her home, to her township. And it was about an hour in the car, wasn't it? And we got there, and I tell you, it was shanty town, real shanty town. And people said to us, don't go there, it's dangerous. You get stones thrown at your car and you'll not come back in one piece. But I tell you, God said he would guard our going out and he would guard our coming in. He would deliver us from all evil. He would protect us and keep us. And so off we went. We'd got a hire car. So off we went. We took Elizabeth home and we saw her house. We saw the state that it was in and what wanted doing. And if you saw what they haven't got and you see what we have got, then there's a huge need out there and we need to meet it. We have been blessed to be a blessing. And so we need to bless Elizabeth and her family and such like, because they love God with all their heart. They're doing all they can with what they've got, but they're lacking a lot. And so, yeah, we need to share, don't we? And see God bless them as he's blessed us. So praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to invite Andrew to come and share the word of God with us. And perhaps he wants to just share a few things about his experience in Africa. Or perhaps not.
Glory to God. Amen. God is good to us. When we arrived in Africa, God gave me this scripture, Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. And it starts off like this. Do not fear, for I am with you. And I thought to myself, aye. What does that mean? Do not fear, for I am with you. I'm like, okay. It looks like there's going to be a battle. There's going to be some problems. And there was. We were in a strange land, a strange country, a different culture. And it's not like when you want to do a building job here, you nip down to B&Q or to the local builder's merchant, things are a little bit more challenging. And you have to order product and materials in and then you have to wait. And when you've only got a time span of 3 weeks, you can't afford to wait. So, but thank God we met this builder. Well, this builder's merchant, and he was a Christian. And there were two brothers-in-law, and they were Christians, and they were working this business, and they looked after us, they cared for us, they showed us round, they told us where to go to get different materials from. If they couldn't get it, they looked for it for me. And it was such a blessing that these guys were doing so much for us, and all their staff. I walked in every morning and everybody welcomed me in, and it was like being looked after by a family. And we thank God for that. That was a real blessing. And as Grace said, they offered to help us fix this lady's roof, to put a new roof on the house, on the extension, and we just thank God for the opportunity to give and to bless people. I don't know if you heard one of the stories that one night two of the young men that we'd taken with us disappeared. And unfortunately they went out and they got drunk. And then they didn't return. So all of a sudden, at something like 1:30 in the morning, there's a, Andrew! Two of the lads haven't turned up. They're still out. Okay. I'm coming. I was the only one just about that was allowed to drive a vehicle. So I spent the next 3 hours driving round this city, whatever you want to call it, called Newcastle in South Africa, let me tell you. in the dead of night, driving into car parks, underground car parks, looking for two guys. Not a good thing to do, you know, but then I knew God was with me. I got two guys in the vehicle as well, so that helped. And we were driving round for a while. We were driving down streets, and suddenly I realized that one of the streets that we were on, the ladies of the night were there. And I thought, oh, move on and be quick about it. So we pulled out, we went somewhere else, and as I was driving along, in the other direction came a police car. So I just carried on driving, you know. I'm okay, I'm fine. I looked in my mirror and I saw his brake lights come on. And I'm like, oh no. He turned around and for the next 10 minutes, he followed me. Every turn I made, he followed me. If I turned left, he turned left. If I turned right, he turned right. I'm saying, he's going to stop me at some stage. Finally, he decides to stop me. So he pulls, I get out the car and I explain what I'm doing. I show him a driving license and tell him everything that we're doing about building this babies center for rescuing babies. We've come from England, we've lost two guys, we're looking for them. And then he looks at me and says, why are you driving a car from Newcastle? And I felt like saying to him, the reason I'm driving a car from Newcastle is because they wouldn't let me bring my car on the aeroplane. You know, but I thought, this guy's not in any sense, you know, hasn't got a sense of humour. So in the end he said, you follow me to the police station. So now I'm thinking, here I am, 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm the one who's going to be locked up for driving round the streets. So we finally got to the police station, we explained everything and they said, oh, okay, fine, and we went back. And then later on in the morning, these guys turned back up. You know, these are experiences that you think, wow, I never expected that. You know, I went to do something else. But in all of these things you learn, you gain experience and you learn to trust God. Fear not. For I'm with you, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. I wasn't afraid at any time. Because I knew, I honestly believe, that each and every one of us has a destiny. You have a future. You have a destiny. Yeah, Francis, you. And each and every one of us has a destiny. To live and to do. God has things for me to do in my lifetime that nobody else can do. Right? This is what I believe. God has appointments for me to keep. I kept an appointment when I met you, Sandy. There was a reason. And God knows, and you know. Daniel, another guy. You know? There's a reason. And it's, we follow the leading of the Lord. And sometimes it's challenging. Sometimes if we're not careful, we can let fear come in. But the Word of God says, fear not, for I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. And so I believe that I've got a destiny. God has a plan for my life. And no matter what happens, He's going to take me there. I'm going to walk this out. I'm going to walk out my destiny. I'm going to walk out my future as long as I'm entrusting God. As long as I'm spending time with God. As long as I'm spending time in the Word of God and I'm listening to His voice speaking to me, I have a future. I have a purpose. God has a plan for me. Does He have a plan for you? Amen. You know, you may have a few grey hairs, but God still has plans for us. Amen?
Amen?
God still has plans for us. You know, some of these young guys, they think we've had it. But let me tell you this. Some of us older guys can work these young guys into the grave. You know, we wear them out. I know when we were in South Africa, some of the things we were doing, and the guys are like, oh, you know, come on, come on. The Word of God says He'll renew your strength. He'll renew your youth like the eagles. Hallelujah. I'm not old. I don't feel old. Glory to Jesus. Praise His wonderful name. He's, you know, God has said to us, He will renew our strength. He will renew our youth. How old do you feel? 50. You feel 50 today. He feels 50. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. Father, renew His youth in the name of Jesus and give Him great strength. Cause Him to dance and rejoice in Jesus' name. Amen. Now receive it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See? You'll see your dad bouncing around now in a bit. And so these were some of the things that went on. And, you know, we saw the project right through to just about completion. We just about finished what we went out to do. We were able to build a storeroom. We had to put five walls up, build a storeroom, put toilets in, sinks in, dig a trench outside, put all the drainage in outside. And... Yeah, it was a hard graft. But you know, God was with us in that the weather wasn't hot. We were very fortunate. They said it's colder than what it should be. And we're like thinking, praise God. You know, because then the last two or three days it began to get hotter. And it began to be more of a, so hot. But God was good to us. He kept that temperature down. And God just... introduced us to people along the way that were such a blessing to us. This builder's merchant that we met, he invited us to the church. We went to the church where they fellowshipped, and we went to the youth meeting. Oh, I had a great time with the youth. Oh, we had a ball. We had a ball with the youth. It was absolutely fabulous. And, you know, we just entered in and just rejoiced and had a great time. And these were kids off the streets. Some of them were on drugs, you know, but everybody needs Jesus. Without Jesus in your life, you're missing something. You're missing it all. And you and I, we need Jesus constantly to be with us all the time. And then on the Sunday, we went to Sunday service, and then we were invited out to go to their house for a meal, and we had a great time of fellowship, and we were encouraged and blessed and strengthened. And, you know, they said, if we ever go back again, they'll look after us and they'll care for us. And so it was great. And so we've made a connection out there in South Africa for the future and things to do. So praise God for that. And so God's been good to us. And he's kept us. And we arrived back safely, a little bit lighter. You know, lost a few inches off the waistline. But that wasn't to do with the cooking. That was just hard work, I suppose, and doing things they don't normally do for a while. But God's good to us. And I just thank God for that. So, this in Isaiah, he said, don't be afraid. Do not be anxious. Looking about you. For I am your God. Amen. I am your God. Remember when Moses met God in the burning bush? And Moses said to him, who shall I say has sent me? And what did God say to him? Tell him, I am, has sent you. We've got a God. I am your God. He said, I'd never leave you. He will never, ever forsake you. Look at the person next to you and tell them, God will never leave you. God will never leave you. Francis, God will never leave you. But you make sure you don't leave him neither. I'm watching you. Praise his wonderful name. Glory to God. He goes on to say this. He says, I, God, will strengthen you. Amen. Amen. It's not It's not about natural food that strengthens us. It's about the Word of God that strengthens us. It's about God Himself, by the power of His Spirit, coming into our lives and ministering to us His strength and His power. Amen? He said, I will strengthen you and I will help you. Oh boy. You know, when we were in South Africa, I needed help. And the best person to go to was to go to God. Because He said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm always going to be here. And do you know something, Sandip? He's smarter than anybody else. Oh, he is smarter than anybody else. He knows all the answers to every problem. All we've got to do is ask Him and listen. And the Bible tells us, be still. Be still and know that He is God. And you and I have to let God rule in our lives. So often our minds get in the way. You know, we're taught, aren't we? We've been educated. And you know, you guys have been in the army. You're taught to fight. You're taught to look at things and problems, analyze things and find a way out if that needs to be the case. That's not wrong. It's good to be alert. But at the same time, it's good to be listening to the Spirit of God. Sometimes He can tell you things that you and I can't see. And suddenly God reveals something that's hidden from our natural eyes. God reveals it and we think, wow, there's a way of escape. There's an answer to the problem. And so we have to trust God and believe that God is always there. Even when you're at school doing exams and things like that, God already knows all the answers to the questions. Isn't that great? Eh? And so, you've got to trust Him. Yeah. We have to spend time with Him. Yeah. When you're at university, God still knows the answers. He's a great God. He's a mighty God. He carries on in that verse and says, surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God takes hold of you. God takes hold of you with His right hand. In fact, stand up. Stand up. God takes hold of you and He holds you secure. He makes sure that as you walk, you won't stumble. You won't fall because He's got hold of you. And it's all about you and I staying close to Jesus. Spending time in His presence. Trusting Him. Trust is a big word. Trust can be a challenge. Thank you. Trust is a challenge at times. You know, some of us in the past can have been hurt by people. And they say, trust me. What? Trust you? After what you did to me all those years ago? People say. We crucified Jesus. But God comes to us with Jesus and the precious blood and that sacrifice and says, I'm going to trust you with my Son. I'm going to trust you with my Spirit. I'm going to fill you with my Holy Spirit. Trust me. Amen? God wants you and I to trust Him. Anybody, most of you may have, well, particularly the young people, will have seen Indiana Jones' film Temple of Doom. Francis, are you telling me the truth? You've not seen it. Boy, you need to watch that one. It's great. There's a biblical truth in this when he enters this temple. You've seen it, haven't you? Yeah. I'm glad somebody has anyway. And he enters into this temple and he has to discover the secrets of the mysteries of how to get to this chalice that they're after that is supposed to give eternal life. It's supposed to be the chalice that Jesus drank from on the table with his disciples. And it's supposed to have power to give life and eternal life. And so people are striving for these things. They're already there. They just have to accept Jesus and make him Lord of your life. But the story goes on, and he works his way through all these difficulties and problems. And finally he stands there on the edge of a mighty crevasse. And he has to get to the other side. And as you look at it, there is no way across. Or there appears to be nowhere across. And he reads the clue. And suddenly he realizes that as he takes some sand and some rocks, he throws them out across this great big crevice of an opening there. And suddenly, these stones don't fall to the ground. They don't drop right down. They land on this narrow bridge. And this bridge is so, it just fits in. It looks like there is nothing there. It blends in. And suddenly he throws these sand and stones across, and it reveals a pathway, a hidden pathway. And he begins to walk across. Where there appears to be no way, God will make a way. Amen? And it's about trusting God. Sometimes we can't see the way. But does that mean there is no way? No. It means there's a way for the children of God. When the children stood before the Red Sea, there was the sea in front of them, there was Pharaoh coming from behind. And they said, there's no way. But God made a way where there was no way. Amen? God made a way through the difficulties. And so for you and me, when it appears at times there's no way, think about Peter. He's in the boat. And the sea's rocking and rolling, and all of a sudden, Jesus is walking on the water. And Peter looks out and says, it's Jesus. No, it's not. So Peter calls, says, Lord, is that you? He says, yes. He said, now this is a stupid statement. I think it is. Then Peter says to Jesus, if it's you, Lord, tell me to come and walk on the water. I mean, how dumb can you be? You know, I mean, that could have been anybody else. Yeah, come on, Peter, you know. And so he makes this, and Peter hears Jesus say, well, come on. So the next thing, Peter gets out of the boat. I'm walking on water. This is great. Wow. This is fantastic. Man. Whoa. This is fabulous, you know. And he starts looking and he's thinking, oh, and he's heading towards Jesus. And all of a sudden, he takes his eyes off Jesus. And he sees the waves. And he thinks, whoa, up and down he goes. You'll remember that one. And down he goes. And Jesus suddenly reaches it out his hand and says, come on, walk with me. Come on. And there they are. They're walking on the waves. Hallelujah. And they walk. Listen, nobody ever tells you this, but Peter and Jesus walked back to the boat. Everybody preaches about him sinking, but they don't preach about him walking back to the boat. And they walk back to the boat, hand in hand, rejoicing in the power of the living God. Amen? who can change water and cause it to be solid for them to walk on, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen?
Amen.
You want to get down? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise God. Fear not. Trust God. No matter what the problem is, no matter what the challenge is, trust God. Because he said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm always going to be there for you. Trust me. You and I need to trust him more. You and I need to realize that when Jesus said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you, he means what he says. He will do what he said he's going to do. And you just keep praying. And you just keep thanking God. Because God is a God of miracles. Amen. You can look around this church building today and there are miracles in this room. There are miracles in this place. And the only person that's done them is God himself.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You look at the person next to you and they are a miracle. They've been saved from death. They've been given eternal life. They've been born again of the Spirit of God. That's a miracle. There are people who've been healed when the doctors have said they're going to die. And Jesus said, no, you're not, because I have a destiny for you. I have a purpose for your life. You have things to do. And the devil says, I'm going to stop you. Well, when you stay focused on Jesus and you have the Word of God operating in your life, the devil's a liar. Hallelujah. And God does not lie because he's not a man. God speaks truth. God is truth. And so when we realize that when God says something, he has the power and the ability to carry it out. Amen? You and I have got to get in partnership with him. We've got to take hold of his hand. Take hold of his hand and say, I'm in partnership with Jesus. And the devil's not going to stop me. I'm in partnership with God, and the devil's not going to stop me living my life to the fullness that God has planned for me, for the future that God has placed in me. There's eternity in you right now. Hallelujah. God is doing things. And I tell you, this coming year, as we're winding down 2014, this next coming year, there are certain, God is going to move amongst us in a mighty way. We're just going to have to open our hearts, open our spirits, and let God move amongst us in power. I'm believing that God is going to change things. I'm believing that God is going to change the spiritual atmosphere around this area. I'm believing that this place is going to be filled with young people worshiping, praising the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And they will be on fire.
Amen. For
Jesus. And we shall see signs, wonders and miracles moving amongst us. We shall see the dead raised. We shall see blind eyes opened. We shall see cripples walking. Do you know why I know that? Because the Bible says it's going to happen. Jesus said, go out into all the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Hallelujah. Jesus said it. He doesn't lie. Amen. This word does not lie. This word is truth. Read this word. Get this word into you and believe it in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
God is wonderful. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is our King. Hallelujah. We need to praise him and praise him and praise him. Because he has done mighty things. Amen. And the end is not yet. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Can you walk on water? Can you walk where you've never been before? Are you going to do it? You can only do it with the Word of God. Hallelujah. You can do it with the Word of God. Amen. This changes things. This book changes things when we believe it. Amen. Praise God forever and ever. This is the most excited I've been for a month. This is the most excited I've been for a month. I'm home. I'm home. I'm with my family. And you know, it's not just family, but it's that same spirit. That same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, that dwells in you and dwells in me. And suddenly that same Spirit goes, oh, brother, oh, hallelujah. And there's a connection. Hallelujah. That's what it does. And you know, when there's a spiritual connection, there's a life. Boom. It's like an explosion. Isn't it, brother? It's like an explosion. Boom. When the power of God comes in. That's what it's about. You know all about that, don't you? You know, when you meet somebody of that same spirit, there's this boom in there. Oh, hallelujah. And you know that you know. You know. When we were in South Africa, there were some people that we met, and it was as cold as stone. And they said they were people of God. And then there were others that we met. And when we met them, it was like suddenly, boom! The fire exploded. Hallelujah. And you knew that that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, dwelling in them and dwelling in you, and it just connects. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And you know, nothing can get between. Nothing gets between. Trust God. Believe God. See mighty things being done. Begin to see through the eye of the Spirit. Fear not the future. God holds it.
Amen.
God holds the future. And you know, He's made provision already for tomorrow. He's made provision for tomorrow. He's made provision for next week. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You don't have to. You just spend time in His presence. And let God make the provision. God will open the doors. God will do what needs to be done. And we just have to walk in them. It says God will make a way where there is no way. It says that God will open doors. He will clear the pathway for you and I to walk in. There are works for you to walk in. Hallelujah. You don't have to strive for these things. God is saying, come on, follow me. What did Jesus say to these new disciples? He said, follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. They were fishers of fish. They were men of fishing, oh, whatever anyway. They caught fish. But God, Jesus said, I'm going to change your destiny. I'm going to change your destiny. I'm going to make you fishers of men. Fishers of souls. Bringing them into the kingdom. And as those disciples followed Jesus, signs, wonders, and miracles followed those disciples. You have a destiny. You have a future. Do not listen to the devil who says you can't do anything. Because he's a liar. Don't listen to the devil who says you'll never be any good. He lies. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it to an abundance. God says, I've brought provision for you. I've made a way for you. He's made a way for you. And he said, he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. And if you take hold of his hands and don't lose that grip, you'll see him moving in power in your life. Amen. Praise God. Grace started off and said, you know, it's last more or less 100 years we've gone through times of great war. Do you know, God has kept this small nation. God has kept this small nation. And somehow we, as a small nation, we've stood against bigger nations. And the thing that kept this nation strong was because we always put God first. We kept God at the center of the nation. And that's what made this nation great. That's what made it at one point where it said that before the sun had time to set, it was already somewhere else. It said the sun never set on our empire. And do you know why God made this nation great? Because he needed this nation to take the gospel right through to the ends of the earth. So that everybody could hear that Jesus had died and rose again for all mankind. People went to Burma and took the message. Went to Nepal, took the message. Went to India, went to China, went to Africa, went to America, all over these places. And the message of the gospel was taken. And you are here because of that. And I'm pleased to see you. And I'm here because of those messages that were taken. And we thank God for that. But our nation was strong because we kept God in the center of our nation. The church needs to rise up strong again. The people of God need to come to a place of authority and trust in God beyond where they've been. Stepping out. Get out the boat. Get out the boat. Get out the boat. Hallelujah. Come on. Get out the boat. And let's push through into victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thanks for listening. Hallelujah. We're going to believe God. In fact, we're going to just pray now. If God has spoken to you in any way today about your future, about trusting him more, then what I want you to do is just, I want everybody to close their eyes at this point in time. And whilst every eye is closed, if you know that God has spoken to you about trusting him more and stepping out further with him, then I want you to stand and we're going to pray where you are. Just stand. God has spoken to you. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus. You know, God wants you to step beyond where you've got to. He wants you to grow in him and go beyond where you are. And he's going to do it with you. He's not going to force you to do it on your own. God wants you to go for it and trust him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God's spoken to you today. God has challenged you to come on. Let's step further. Let's press in. Hallelujah. Then you stand right now in the presence of God as a commitment, not to me, but as a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm going to follow you and I'm going to press in and take hold of your hand. I'm going to get out that boat and walk on that water for you, Lord. Amen. Father, we just thank you for everyone standing. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have quickened each and every one of us. And thank you, Lord, for your word that has been spoken and that has been received right now, Father, in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that you will cause that word, O God, to be quickened and, Lord, to bring much fruit. Lord, to let their confidence in you rise up, O God, I pray. And that, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, you would quicken them and that their faith would become stronger. And that, Lord, as they reach out and, Lord, hear your voice speaking to them, Lord, that there shall be, Lord, signs, wonders and miracles that are following these lives. Lord, I just ask this, Lord, that you, O Jesus, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, would be magnified and glorified in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that this word today will not be stolen from the hearts and from the minds of these people. But Lord, it shall be kept, and that Lord, they shall press in. Lord, even the younger ones, that they shall press into the things of the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just to remind you that on Wednesday evening, we have a Bible study and prayer time together. If you're able to get here, it's 7:30. And we'll be meeting together and praying together. One final thing that I'd like to do I know we've got some gentlemen who have been in the services. And thank God for that. Thank God for their commitment of their life to this nation. And under God, they at times risk their life for your freedom, for my freedom. And I thank God for that. And so, can I just ask you gentlemen that have been in the forces to stand, please? Anybody else that's been in the forces to stand? Stand. Praise God, I thought so. Can I ask you guys to come forward? Are you walking on water or what? Hey, hey, amen.
Out of the boat.
You got out of the boat. Yeah. Amen.
Look out for the fire escape.
Hallelujah. No, I've got no guns. Just line up. Stand in the line, guys. Prem. Come, please. Hallelujah. We're going to believe God that he's going to be a soldier for Jesus. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just stand there. These men risked their lives at times for our freedom. They risked their lives for this nation and the nations that you are from, that we would have our freedom from being beaten and traumatized and all these horrible things that have been going on in the world. These men represent men and women that 100 years ago gave their lives in the First World War. They gave their lives. They gave their lives so you and I could go to school. They gave their lives so you and I could have... We could be in church tonight and we could have freedom to praise God. And these men have followed in their footsteps. And you know, we've all seen on TV this last few days the sort of, I don't know if celebration is the right word, but just the commemorating and the honouring of men and women that have given their lives, that have risked their lives for our freedom. And let's just for a moment just stand and honour the men that are here and honour the men and women that gave their lives for us during the last two great wars in particular, and even in recent wars. And you know, we need to not forget what these people have done for us. Thankfully, I've not had to go to war. And I thank God for my freedom. I thank God for what he's done for me and what he's given us in this country. And you know, many of you have come to this country because of the blessings of God and for the freedom that has come. And for your service unto this country as well. So let's just, for one moment, just for a minute, just honour these men and women. And just in silence, just stand before the Lord with a thankful heart. Amen. Father, I just thank you for these men that stand before you and have represented us. And Lord, have stood for what is right. And stood for the gospel. I pray, oh God, that you would continue to strengthen them, to uphold them, and the hundreds of thousands of others, oh God, that have done exactly the same thing for the gospel's sake. I pray, oh God, that you would just continue to minister to them, and Lord, that in their years to come, oh God, you would make them, Lord, spiritual warriors for you. I ask this, oh Father, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.